Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Signed a joint understanding for a follow-on treaty to the START agreement that will reduce our nuclear warheads and delivery systems by up to a third from our current treaty limitations. This legally binding treaty will be completed this year. We've also agreed on a joint statement on nuclear security cooperation that will help us achieve the goal of securing all vulnerable nuclear materials within 4 years, progress that we can build upon later this week at the G8 summit. Together, these are important steps forward in implementing the agenda that I laid out in Prague.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are witnessing the sellout of the United States of America. While you schmucks were dancing to Michael Jackson's funeral, your president, Barack Hussein Obama, held a fire sale of our nuclear defenses in Moscow. Make no mistake about it, this is unprecedented. We are putting ourselves at risk if we permit this to go forward. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. Does the president have the sole authority to act on the behalf of the American people without any congressional approval? Are you living in a dictatorship or are you living in a democracy? I'll let you decide. The fact of the matter is, I am not the only one who is saying this. There's a superb article by a British columnist named Gerald Warner who wrote exactly what I just said. And he said, "No apologies for posting consecutively on Barack Obama. The Looney Tunes president's sellout of U.S. and Western interests is proceeding at such a speed that it is difficult to keep pace." Well said, Niall Gardner, for asking if Barack Obama is the most naive president in American history. The answer is yes, unless he has a secret agenda to cut America down to size. Listen carefully what I'm talking about, because I'm going to tell you liberals something that you're finally going to understand. Just as I coined the phrase, "microbes do not discriminate," way back in my book, Maximum Immunity, when I was writing about the AIDS epidemic and other epidemiological illnesses, I said that microbes do not discriminate. It's been copied by many, but I created that phrase. I also will tell you that nuclear weapons do not discriminate. When they come flying in without a missile defense shield, they won't know that you're a good fellow communist or a good liberal. They won't know that you're locked in amber. They won't know that you still wear your tie-dyes with pride. They won't know that you're an enemy of America. You'll go just with everyone else. Read the article. He said it was always in Russia that Obama threatened to do the most damage. And he said his supposed missile deal with Vladimir Putin is very satisfactory to Russian ambitions and realpolitik. And then you could read about the nuclear power balance and what this really means. And then he writes this. "For America voluntarily to reduce its nuclear superiority is madness. Beyond pensant talk of a nuclear-free world displays total stupidity in a global situation where nuclear weaponry is proliferating, not receding. There is even a nuclear bomb in Pakistan, which is teetering on the brink of failed statehood at the hands of Islamist insurgents. Is this a time for America to disarm, to sell the store, as one trenchant right-wing commentator has already described Obama's posturing in Moscow? Is it time to sell the store? For Obama's success is not the delivery of watertight nuclear security for America. It is a feel-good news conference and photo opportunity that will create huge approval ratings on liberal campuses where the delusions of 1968 and the anti-Vietnam War movement still linger on in these isolated Jurassic Parks. It seems certain Obama will sacrifice the anti-missile shield in Europe that would have been our defense against a nuclear Iran after the Ayatollahs, with Russian help, emerge as potential vaporizing agents of the infidel. The interceptor missiles do not even carry warheads. They rely on an impact at 14,900 miles an hour to destroy any incoming missile. So Russian hysteria about this, quote, threat is synthetic. Where I disagree, and you, well, I don't want to read the rest of the article. Read it yourself. Barack Obama holds a fire sale of America's nuclear defenses in Moscow by Gerald Warner. It is from the Telegraph blogs out of England. It's up on michaelsavage.com. Combined with this, though, is a ray of hope. The ray of hope comes from the Rasmussen poll. The Rasmussen poll says Obama's approval index drops to all-time low. So apparently the American people are not gulled by the schmucks and the vermin in the media. The daily presidential tracking poll shows only 32% of voters approve of Obama's performance. Did you hear that? 32%, not 60%, as Wolf Blitz and that vermin talks about. It's 32%. And 37% disapprove of this fraud, giving Obama a rating of negative 5, all-time low. You won't read that, will you? But you schmucks were gulled yesterday, weren't you? You putzes didn't understand when I was telling you why the vermin in the media were pushing this pervert in your face for days, this Michael Jackson pedophile, day in and day out. Why? All the while, it was planned that Obama was selling out America at the same time. Did you hear what I just said to you? If you think that there's no conspiracy between the government and the media, you're living in a dreamland. You belong at NYU. And if you don't belong at NYU, then you belong at an even worse campus. You belong at Harvard. This is the Savage Nation. Barack Obama holds a fire sale of America's nuclear defense in Moscow, and you were dancing to Michael Jackson's music. There is a concurrent article on michaelsavage.com from WND, which is entitled J'accuse England, J'accuse America. And in this article, Professor Washington has a theory as to why Michael Savage was banned in Britain. He compares Michael Savage and the problems I am having with the dictatorship of England with the Dreyfus Affair. Many of you don't know what the Dreyfus Affair was, and I don't say you should. It's not something I would think you should carry around with you, but it's important that you read about it and see where we are today with regard to the situation in the United States of America. So we have three articles to talk about. Obama selling out America's nuclear defenses in Moscow. Obama's approval index drops to an all-time low. And Michael Savage compared to the Dreyfus Affair. Phone number 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Obama sells out to Russia. Let us begin in Miami, Florida. Lori, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. What worries me most about the Michael Jackson fiasco is that it was the press's most important assignment so far from the Obama administration to cover for that hour that Obama spent at the Neopugin getting a re-education on the Cold War, which reminds me so much of Jimmy Carter and a lot of other Democrats.
Let's cut to the chase. We have a president who just agreed to cut one-third of our nuclear arsenal without congressional discussion or votes. What country are we living in? A dictatorship or a democracy where the people have any voice?
A total dictatorship.
Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255. San Diego, Gail, you're on the Savage Nation. How do you feel waking up today knowing that most of America disapproves of Obama, and yet the media has covered for him while he sold out the country to Russia?
I feel that this man has the entire nation fooled into thinking he's a naive politician, and the left-wing media mouths are in bed with him. And the worst of the worst I wanted to tell you is that I think this guy is the consummate enemy within the gates. He's a stealth Muslim. He's not what he says he is.
Well, let's pause right there. The stealth Muslim part of it, I disagree with. I think he's a stealth communist liberal. Okay, let's put it to you that way. I don't care about his ethnic background, his religious background. What I care about is the defense of the United States of America. I believe the man is a walking disaster for the future security of this country. Neville Chamberlain did very similar things with Hitler in the 1930s. I compared Obama to Neville Chamberlain in coming up to the election. I said, we have a man who I hope is Neville Chamberlain. But even Neville Chamberlain saw the errors of his ways after Hitler went forward with another invasion of another nation. And even Neville Chamberlain agreed he was wrong. Do you think Obama is capable of ever admitting he's wrong?
Absolutely not. The man is entirely the most arrogant politician I've ever observed. And I think that at least Neville Chamberlain loved his country. This guy hates his country. And it shows. It exudes from every pore of his body.
Well, I don't know about the hate part of it. I think he has no feelings for the country. I'll put it to you that way. Again, I give him a neutral on it rather than a plus or a negative. I think that his feelings are for the world rather than for the United States of America. Gail, it's a very terrifying situation we're in. We're talking now. It sounds like it's just words. It sounds like it's just rhetoric. There are ramifications to political acts. This could be a fatal blow. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to comment on Barack Obama giving away the store on America's nuclear defenses to Vladimir Putin, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage.
As we keep our commitments, so we must ensure that other nations keep theirs. To that end, we had constructive discussions about North Korea and Iran. North Korea has abandoned its own commitments and violated international law. And that's why I'm pleased that Russia joined us in passing a UN Security Council resolution that calls for strong steps to block North Korea's nuclear and ballistic missile programs.
This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine. We, the German Führer and Chancellor, and the British Prime Minister, have had a further meeting today and are agreed in recognizing that the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe. We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Which class are you in? Those who know their history or those who do not know their history? I am trying to instruct America before it is too late. I am playing a soundbite from our naive Fabian socialist president, and I'm giving him, by the way, the most positive view. I don't accept that he's a traitor. I don't accept that he's a sellout. I don't say you go for that he's a stealth this. That. I believe I'm going to give him the credit for the fact that he's a naive man from a university background. The skids have been greased for him his entire life. The man has never truly worked for anything in his life. Everything was handed to him. And here is a man who flies off on a regular basis, giving away America's dignity and now giving away America's nuclear superiority to Russia at a time that North Korea is launching weapons, at a time when Iran wants a nuclear weapon, at a time when nukes could be going loose in Pakistan. So I play for you Obama saying he just came back and signed the joint understanding to cut delivery systems with Mr. Putin. We want peace. Then I play for you Neville Chamberlain back in the 1930s, 39, I believe, coming back with a similar statement saying Herr Hitler and he have come to an agreement that we'll never go to war again. Hitler then used the weakness of Chamberlain to go and invade the next nation in the list. Do you have any idea what I am telling you? When in the world are you going to wake up to what is going on right in front of your eyes? 1-800-449-8255. Jim in New York, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. I would like to know if you think since President Obama is overstating his powers in the executive branch, doing the functions of the congressional part of the government, could litigation be brought against him?
By who? Who's going to bring the litigation?
Citizens of the country into the judicial branch.
Well, if there was a two-party system instead of a one-party system, this would be fought in Congress. But since we do not have a Republican Party to stand up for America, tell me what we do now.
People like you, me, and many of us.
Yeah, I have my own problems, and the government knows that. They understand we are weak. They understand we have no organization. They understand they've crushed the Republicans, who are the biggest sellouts in history. They understand all of that, and that's why a Fabian socialist like Barack Obama can go away and give away America's nuclear defenses in Moscow, pretending that it's for world peace. I don't have an answer for you right now. I'm waiting to hear from one senator who says, no, this will not happen over my dead body. We're not permitting the president to cut our nuclear arsenal by one-third. This is not a decision that can be made unilaterally. It must go through proper channels. And we have not had the discussion yet. The American people need to discuss it. That's right. The idiot American people who worship at Michael Jackson's gold coffin need to discuss this before we can do it. We're not letting this dictatorship go forward. Have you heard one senator say that? Huh? You haven't. So there we are. That's the story. 1-800-449-8255, San Francisco, New York, Maine, Florida. I would say I'll even take calls from the land of the where the clowns are now running the state. That would be Al Frankenstein's state. Where are the Republicans? Where have they gone? Where have all the good Republicans gone? What happened to the two-party system? How can you not understand we're living in a dictatorship when you have the president, the Senate, and the House all owned by one party? You have a dictatorship, especially when the other party has become so supine and invisible. They're not there. They're so out of touch with reality, they don't even know that the American people don't like Obama. The Republicans are so out of touch with reality, they don't even know that they could come back to power in a moment's notice if they stood up and showed a spine. But they have become Solenterates. Solenterates. Kansas City, Jeff, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call, Savage. I just wanted to sound off and remind the sheeple out in America that Vladimir Putin is a creature that was created by the KGB, which is the successor to what was called the NKVD, that was responsible for the slaughter of 1.5 million Russians in the period 19... 19-
That's correct. And some people argue that President Barack Hussein Obama is their candidate. He is their Manchurian candidate. And he finally went home to his controllers. Do you want me to go down the road of the conspiracy theorists?
Conspiracy. I mean,
What if you wake up one day and you hear Barack Obama say for world peace, he's going along with a UN resolution saying you have to turn in your guns?
Savage.
We have signed a joint understanding for a follow-on treaty to the START agreement that will reduce our nuclear warheads and delivery systems by up to a third from our current treaty limitations.
Let's stop right here. The president is acting illegally. The president of the United States is violating the United States Constitution. Barack Obama is acting as though he is a dictator. He is violating the Constitution. I will read you the section. U.S. Constitution Article 2, Section 2 says the following. It's one paragraph long. The president shall have the power, by and with the advice and consent of the Senate, to make treaties, provided two-thirds of the senators present concur. He has just signed a treaty with Russia, cutting our nuclear arsenal by one-third, without any advice, without any consent, and without any vote. You are living in a dictatorship. Now, combine this trip to Russia, giving away the nuclear superiority that we have, with Hillary Clinton and Obama siding with Castro and Chavez and the Sandinistas in supporting the ousted dictator of Honduras, who was a communist. If you put the pieces together, you recognize we have had a revolution in America, and the people are now serfs without a constitution. Obama may as well have gotten up and ripped up the Constitution and said, drop dead, I am doing what I wish. That is what he just did. Mozart in Chicago, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
How you doing, Michael? I kind of disagree. I believe under the Constitution, the president, as representing the government, can go and
You believe, but you don't know. You're talking out of your behind, not out of your head. I just read you the Constitution. I don't care what you believe. Do you know what the Constitution actually says, or you just want to shoot your mouth off like you know anything? What do you mean you believe? Cite the clause.
Sorry, Michael, I'm on your
side. Cite the clause. No, cite the clause.
The clause is, this is what I'm saying, because our whole government is weak, you know.
Look, you're an ignoramus. I don't care whether you like me or you hate me. I don't want to talk to idiots anymore. Please leave me alone. If you have the brains to cite the constitutional clause that gives Obama the power to usurp the Congress and to usurp the people, let me know what it is. Show it to me. Show it to me. Las Vegas, Nevada, Betty, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I see three separate people in Obama. First of all, I see him as the hail fellow, big, grinning, nice guy that he likes you to think he is. Then I see another person. When he wants to sell you an idea, he changes the whole cadence of his speech. He becomes a salesman slash maybe a preacher sort of person that just starts to perpetuate.
Or he picks up the Reverend Wright game. Then what's number three?
Number three, I think that he becomes an internationalist when he starts speaking and he says Pakistan and Afghanistan and the Taliban. He doesn't even speak English anymore. And I think
you're paying attention to little subtleties, which I certainly respect, but I'm paying attention to the grotesque devolution of America's defenses under this man in such a short period of time. Totally. Something is wrong with the picture. Now, I may be the first American commentator to have found the clause in the Constitution which says the president has no such power to singularly destroy our nuclear arsenal without the advice and consent of the Senate, provided that he has two-thirds of the senators present concurring with him. Do you know of such a discussion and vote within the U.S. Senate?
Of course not. And furthermore, I think my last
But notice comment- what I'm telling you. What did I say over the last few days with the Michael Jackson insanity and hysteria? I said, while you're worshiping the golden casket, while you're worshiping the pedophile, while the media is whipping you up into a frenzy for a pervert and a loser, your president is destroying America's nuclear superiority. It was all tied together, Betty.
I agree with you, and I furthermore think that anyone who would break the Constitution time and time again, he started out by not even being a citizen of this country, and it goes on and on. Why would he think he should stop?
Okay, I'll let it go at that. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. AJ in Houston, it's your turn. Go ahead, please.
Mike, I'm furious. I'm pissed. As a black man, see, you can't say it, but I'm going to say it. Michael, this man perpetrating as being a black man, he making us look bad. A black man will never get up there again. And then you get that stupid Al Sharpton up there talking about Michael Jackson opening up doors for black men. Is he stupid or stupid? Nat King Cole, Martin Luther King, Jackie Robinson. Is that man crazy or crazy? Michael, we got to take this country back. And I talk to these, I'm so sorry, Mike, I got to go off. These ignorant black folks that don't pay attention to what they voted for, I'm bashing them every day. My family, all of them. I'm like, what did you vote for it for? Why?
AJ, don't waste your breath with ignoramuses. Don't do it. And be particular whose insults you take to heart. These are two things that I've learned in my life. Do not try to convert people in your family who are too ignorant to understand the world they're living in, because you're only going to give yourself agita, as they say in Italian. And number two, if they insult you back, AJ, be particular whose insults you take to heart. In other words, if I insulted you, you should take it to heart, AJ. But if one of your ignorant relatives insults you, don't even take it to heart. You follow me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But they make me so sick that it's... Michael, just take a little...
Well, you got to be like me, AJ. You got to stop talking to everybody and just get yourself a dog.
You got that right, Michael. We still love you.
You know, I got to say to you, yesterday, you know, I went on the air, AJ, and I talked about a fox being killed by a car. It died slowly, and the mother barking and crying for it all night looking for her baby. And I said I felt more compassion for a dying rabid fox than I did for the death of Michael Jackson. And I think that I touched on a raw nerve, because I think most of America felt the way I did. And I believe that it was the others, those people you were talking about, who were gulled by the government media complex, AJ. God bless you. Thanks for calling. I guess you could say living well is the best revenge. What am I going to do tonight after the show is over? What I do every night. God willing, I will have dinner and I will drink. But tonight I will drink more than I drank last night, even though last night I had one beer, not more than one beer, actually. I think tonight I'm going to go a little further. I'm starting to get a nightmare view of what's coming in this country. I'm getting a nightmare view of a government that is out of control. I'm getting a nightmare view of a government that we will wake up to one day which says, I have signed a treaty with, fill in the blank. I have agreed with the United Nations, fill in the blank. In order that we achieve and maintain peace around the world, we are asking you to voluntarily give up your guns. I have agreed with the United Nations that anyone who earns over, fill in the blank, is a pig, and that pig must now turn over his property in order for the betterment of humanity. I can make it up. I can fantasize. I can theorize. I can strategize. I can capitalize on your fears. But let me tell you something. What I am talking about today is based upon cold, white-knuckled reality. Your president just told you that while you were dancing at Michael Jackson's gold coffin, a pedophile, a talentless imp who had not produced a record in 20 years that anyone knows of, the media gulled you. They produced a mass hysteria. And like minnows caught up in an outgoing tide, you went along with it. Who was the only one in the media telling you that there was something up as to why the media was drawing you to L.A. in the funeral? Who was the one who told you, why is the president going to Russia? What's going on here? What's happening? Why is he giving away America's nuclear superiority in Moscow? Now, I want to back up for a minute because I have a fairly good knowledge of this subject, although I'm only able to speak in sound bites and speak in short bursts of brilliance. There's a great deal of knowledge behind each of my sentences and statements. You may not know it, but George Bush Sr. did a similar thing. That's correct. Not the dyslexic son, but the rather calculating, brilliant father. In his time in office, disassembled all of our neutron bombs. And the reason I know this is because the inventor of the neutron bomb, Sam Cohen, was on this program when I was a local talk show host. I don't know how long this has to be, 10 years ago. And Sam Cohen said to me almost with tears that the Pope gave him the highest award for creating a weapon that would produce the least amount of damage and end the war most quickly, which is the neutron bomb. Meaning, it kills only living matter. It doesn't destroy cities. Now you say, well, what's the advantage to that? Because the way wars are fought is that whoever loses more people first gives up. I don't think you understand what this means. That if we permit Russia to gain nuclear superiority over us, it doesn't matter whether we have 5,000 weapons left and they have 7,000, they can simply destroy us by threatening to use their weapons. And with a pacifist socialist such as Obama, he's just liable to say, we lose. Don't fire the weapons. What do you want us to do? Do you understand what I just said to you? Let me put it in another context, because many of you are rightly concerned, but on the other hand, you say, what's wrong with giving up nuclear weapons? We have so many of them. We have 16,000 and we give up 4,000. What's the big deal? We still have 12,000. It's enough to wipe out the world. Classic communist illogic. This is how they led you to believe that we really only needed one nuclear weapon to protect ourselves. If we needed any at all, one. After all, one hydrogen bomb can destroy all of Russia. You say, well, what do you need more than that? Let's go down to reality. Two gangs meet up on a street corner. And one gang has 50 guns. The other gang has 30 guns. And they're all of the same caliber. And they face each other off. And the gang leader with the 50 guns says, you know, a lot of our men are going to die. And this is unnecessary. I'm a man who does not like bloodshed, but we have our needs that must be met. We're going to win. A lot of my men are going to die, but almost all of your men are going to die. We're going to wipe you out. We have 50 guns, you have 30 guns. So we're going to ask you to give us what we want without us firing a shot. And guess what happens? I'll be right back. Savage.
Signed a joint understanding for a follow-on treaty to the START agreement that will reduce our nuclear warheads and delivery systems by up to a third from our current treaty limitations.
Okay, let's stop right there. Obama is a constitutional lawyer. What he is citing is a clever way to get around the U.S. Constitution. He just said we have signed a follow-on treaty of the START agreement. He will argue that the president does not have to get the two-thirds of the senators present to concur with cutting our nuclear arsenal. Instead, this president of ours will say he does not need anyone's authority. He's just simply amending an existing treaty and therefore drop dead. If you don't like it, you can leave the country. But he'll never say that because he plays Mr. Nice Guy. Most dictators play the nice guy. Even while they're doing terrible things, they never show it. This one is the most clever at not showing any of the dark side, so to speak, that is so apparent to anyone with a brain. The Rasmussen poll has just come out, and Obama approval rating as of 7809, that's July 8th, 2009, has slipped to a minus 5 or a minus 3. It's plummeting. It is dropping. It is falling. It is falling, and it is falling fast. From the time this man first took office, when he fooled most of you into thinking that he was something he was not, he had an approval rating and a disapproval rating that was a 44-16. It is now 32-37. Now you say, what does this mean? I can't follow any of this. Well, it's very easy to follow. His approval ratings have been falling while his disapproval ratings have been climbing. And right now, the differential is a minus 5. In other words, he has very high disapproval ratings in this country. And that's before the people heard about cutting the nuclear arsenal. I can guarantee you, if we had a legitimate media that was not owned by the Obama administration, that had screaming headlines saying Obama cuts nuclear arsenal, gives up our strategic advantage to Russia, which is what you would have gotten from a Hearst newspaper when it was still a Hearst newspaper before it was taken over by a bunch of left-wing lunatics. When you still had newspapers that screamed the truth, said it like it was. The way they read was the way I sound. Newspapers in America once read the way this show sounds to you. I don't make any of this up. After all, I'm not making up headlines. I am delivering headlines that are based upon reality. We still had newspapers that in every box where the liberals who do not buy newspapers but read them for free, you pass any city in America, you see the cheap old liberals leaning over and looking in a machine. They won't even buy the newspapers that are dying, even though their policies are exactly what they agree with. They read them for nothing through the newspaper machine. You see them leaning over. The way that people hug in Marin County so the hips don't touch. Leaning over and reading, what does it say? Oh, Obama's God. Obama's a genius. Michelle, gorgeous. Obama, wonderful. Obama does next wonderful thing for animals and other living things. Obama, superb. Obama, great. Obama, the magnificent. And they walk away saying, well, ooh, look at that. I voted for the right guy. But if they actually read what he just did, which is that he violated the U.S. Constitution, Article 2, Section 2, by agreeing to give up our nuclear superiority to Russia at a time when North Korea and Iran and others are threatening the world. And they heard a headline, he read a headline which said, Obama gives up America's nuclear superiority to Russia. Obama cuts America's military. Obama taxes Americans to death. Obama agrees with G8 to tax American businesses off the planet. You'd suddenly see a wholesale hysteria in America based on reality where they'd recognize that they have a man who's running out of control here as though he's living in a banana republic and the people have no voice whatsoever. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's why talk radio exists. We are your last vestige of reality. You may say, well, come on, you deal with rhetoric and bombastic material. Sure we do. Otherwise, you wouldn't listen at all. But we are the only counterbalance that you actually have with this monstrous construct called the government media complex, another phrase I created in 1997. And so I give it to you as it is. The president is violating the U.S. Constitution because he's a clever manipulator of the law. He's a constitutional lawyer who was trying to get around the Constitution by using the law to get around the Constitution. Because as I've told you, liberals use the Constitution for toilet paper when it doesn't suit them. And they hide behind it when someone catches them. Right now, the president has used your Constitution as toilet paper by signing an extension of a treaty without going to Congress, meaning the senators, for a discussion and a vote. He didn't go for that. Instead, you watched a pervert being buried in a gold coffin. Obama's polls are taking a dive. You won't read that tomorrow in your hack government-controlled newspaper. May as well be Izvestia or Pravda. I first told you about Pravda 10 years ago while the man was still using a certain ointment on his ears before he even was in radio, before he copied every word I say on a daily basis. The living hemorrhoid was using a certain ointment on his ears. Tomorrow, of course, you will hear again about Izvestia and Pravda for the 50th time from the hemorrhoid with ears. But he's not the issue. No one's the issue. I'm not the issue. You're not the issue. He's not the issue. We're not the issue. We're not the issue. You're not the issue. He's not the issue. All aboard. All aboard the Obama train. Get aboard the Obama gravy train. Every loser in America thought he was going to give them a free car and a free house. Every loser in America thought that the food stamps would go up, the welfare would go up, the medical care would go up. Every loser in America who hated their better neighbors, the neighbors who did better than them. Every loser who thought they'd have their neighbor's house, their neighbor's car, their neighbor's wife, their neighbor's children, their neighbor's education, their neighbor's business is suddenly waking up to the fact that he's just another lying politician. But this one does not even have their national security at heart. All aboard? All aboard the gravy train. What gravy train? There's a train, but there's no gravy. All aboard the Obama train. Your train, my train, his train, cold train. Let's have some cold train on the way out the station house door. Your train, my train, his train, cold train. Hit it, Johnson, before I run out of steam.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Signed a joint understanding for a follow-on treaty to the START agreement that will reduce our nuclear warheads and delivery systems by up to a third from our current treaty limitations. This legally binding treaty will be completed this year.
The president is violating the U.S. Constitution. The president shall have power by and with the advising consent of the Senate to make treaties provided two-thirds of the senators present concur. Constitution Article 2, Section 2, yet the dictator Obama has just given up our nuclear superiority to Russia, saying that this is binding. Where did he get this authority from? Where did he get the authority from? How is this possible? The fact of the matter is, I don't know if we can stop this man while it is still possible to stop him, either through impeachment or by other means. But by giving away our nuclear defenses to Moscow at a time that Iran, North Korea, and others are seeking to gain nuclear arsenals themselves, is not only folly, it's insanity. I'm not the only one who says this, so something doesn't make sense, especially when we have a one-party system with literally a government-controlled press, a government-controlled press that refuses to report anything except positive news about Obama. Polls are showing that his popularity is at an all-time low. Rasmussen reports show The daily presidential tracking poll shows only 32% of voters approve of Obama's performance. 32%! While 37% disapprove, giving him a rating of minus 5. Mr. Rasmussen will join us at the turn of the half hour here on the Savage Nation. And the fact of the matter is, you won't see this in any newspaper tomorrow, because the fellow travelers of the internationalists, the Fabian socialists, whichever you prefer, are all in conspiracy together to make sure that you pay only attention to the golden coffins where pedophiles are buried. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com has all of these stories. You must read them. You must read them. You must read them. Let's begin with the callers in Fort Lauderdale. Charles, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Michael, there's a doctrine of nuclear warfare called mutually assured destruction. And what it means is that no matter how many hits we take from nuclear weapons, we will be able to launch a counterstrike that completely annihilates our enemy. Now, I'm not as afraid of Russia as I am of China, because I believe that where we would not accept the loss of 10 million people in a nuclear war, the Chinese might accept the loss of 400 million of their citizens to fight.
That is correct. I'm going to add another statistic that's very alarming. How many excessive men do they have in China right now? Do you happen to know?
No, I don't.
All right. It's in the several millions. They have had a one-child policy for many years, but it was really aimed at eliminating girl babies to produce more boys, with one intention in mind. If you study the history of nations, any nation that has had an excessive number of men proportionate to male and female ratio has always gone to war. They've used the men for one thing only, which is to wage war. Are you aware of that?
No, Michael, I'm not.
You know, I walk around with all these facts in my head. I see a president who's clearly, in my mind, weakening us and selling us down the river. I see a compliant press. I see a single-party system, and I'm frankly terrified. I don't know what else to say to you.
I see him as a Manchurian candidate. That's what I feel.
You actually believe that he's owned by either Russia or China? You think they put him in power?
I believe that he is not as American as a kid like me who grew up playing baseball and football and going to public schools or American schools. I don't think that he is as American as somebody who has my background.
All right, so he went to madrasas in Indonesia. That's a fact of reality. The American people tried to say that, and McCain shut everybody up. What does that tell you about the Republican Party?
That they're in on it, too.
Thank you. Why would they run an old hack who was sure to lose? Because they wanted Obama to win. Let's not forget that George Bush had the power for 8 straight years, and he almost wrecked this nation.
Look, you know what? You're the one who called Bush a fiscal socialist, and he was the one who robbed the Treasury on the way out.
Thank you. And I warned everybody 4 months, 5 months, 6 months before it was over, you have not seen anything yet. I hope he doesn't do anything worse. And every day it got worse under Bush, didn't it? And then what did we get at the end of the tunnel? What was waiting for us at the end of the Bush tunnel? Barack Hussein Obama. Given to us by whom? By the government media complex, by the Democrats, by the Republicrats. So what we're seeing here is an emerging new government emerging, a world government, where America is only one piece of the whole puzzle. And our rights are no different from that of someone in Uganda. At the end of the road, we're going to wind up enslaved by the United Nations. That's exactly what is going on here.
I think you're right, Michael.
And for the sake of harmony, we are going to eliminate talk radio. For the sake of intercommunity peace and harmony, we're going to eliminate any conservative blogger. For the sake of intercommunity tension and lessening such, we're going to ban any blogger who said something negative about any world leader from any other country. They're going to be men without a country. For the sake of peace on earth, no one shall criticize a world leader. For the sake of intercommunity peace and harmony, we are going to eliminate anyone who says they do not believe global warming is a problem. And we will probably have to put them into re-education camps for the sake of the elephants and the seals. Sacramento, Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, my son became an Eagle Scout about 5-6 months ago, and we sent a letter to when you become an Eagle Scout, you send letters for people to respond.
Right.
We got letters back from Bush. We got letters from nobody. Obama sent no letter. Did not even sign. Didn't even sign his Eagle accommodation card. He will not even be involved with Boy Scouts of America at all. I mean, he just Bush.
Well, Boy Scouts of America, Eagle Scouts. I mean, how incredibly retro can you get? That's such a macho group, and it's just so non-metrosexual.
Anyway,
well, I salute your son for becoming an Eagle Scout. I can't speak for President Obama. I am sure that if he became a global warming scout, he would have been invited to the White House and would have had a celebration. Gallup, Obama approval dips to new low. Now, that's the Gallup poll. I don't know why Drudge is quoting the Gallup poll when I already put up the Rasmussen poll on MichaelSavage.com. And we have Mr. Rasmussen on to confirm this at 30 minutes after the hour. So, against now... You're telling me that both Gallup and Rasmussen are coming up with the same results, and yet your schmucks in the newspaper business won't tell you that? Here, Gallup Daily, Obama job approval. Plunging. But you don't understand something. He don't care about his ratings. That's why the left wing is pushing their agenda so fast. They don't care what you think. They know his ratings are going to fall. The longer you get to know the man, the more you see of him, the less you like him. The more you see what he's doing to your country, the less you like him. The more you see how he's selling us out to the world powers, the less you like him. So therefore, the radical left in America is forcing as many different treaties, as many different programs down as fast as they can. Before you catch on, it'll be too late. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Signed a joint understanding for a follow-on treaty to the START agreement that will reduce our nuclear warheads and delivery systems by up to a third from our current treaty limitations.
All right, the dictatorship is clear. It is showing its face. The president shall have power by and with the advice and consent of the Senate to make treaties, provided two-thirds of the senators present concur. U.S. Constitution, Article 2, Section 2, the president is violating the Constitution with some clever legal BS, saying it's a continuation of the START Treaty, when in fact such a serious measure such as this requires discussion, analysis. Is it a good idea to give up one-third of our nuclear arsenal at this time, while North Korea, Iran, Pakistan, and others are clamoring to gain control of nuclear weapons? What the heck is going on, you say to yourself? How could this be? Why would he do this now? Certainly you can discuss it, but maybe at another time you would consider this during more peaceful times. Now, if you take the Soviet Union's missiles as a number, as of 07, Russia had a superiority of 2,146 land-based nukes to our 1,600. So they already had land-based superiority. But we had a superiority in sea-launched and air-launched U.S. warheads, right? Now add in the fact that China lumped in with the Soviet Union, we now have, at this point already, an inferior position with regard to nuclear weaponry. So to just talk about U.S. versus Russia in terms of cutting back weapons is ludicrous. Put China and Russia in one pot, and then tell me if we still have nuclear superiority, because we do not. Again, this is a sleight of hand being conducted by the radical internationalists who apparently want to put America's sovereignty in the toilet, and eventually tell us exactly what to do with our guns, our flag, our Constitution, and our apple pie. This is going on right in front of your eyes. Right in front of your eyes. In exactly for the 30 minutes after the hour, when we come out of that break, we're going to have Scott Rasmussen on from the Rasmussen poll. And there's an alarming similarity between his findings and the findings of the other major poll in America, the ones that most people look at, and that is the Gallup poll. Gallup just reported that Obama approval dips to new low. Rasmussen reports -5 when you add up the rising disagree with the approvals. you say, well, wait a minute. What's going on? Why did this happen so fast? It's not based on his nuclear, giving up the nuclear arsenal, because no one even heard about it till today. So already coming up from last week, what he was doing already, the guy's into negatives. Now, what's going to happen when the American people find out about him giving up on nuclear superiority to Russia without so much as a discussion or a vote? He did this while he was on a trip. What do you do about it? When you have no Republican Party, you have a one-party system of a bunch of drugged-out left-wing goons. A bunch of drugged-out left-wing goons running us off the rails. Cap and trade, it's a con. Goldman Sachs, don't say cap and trade. Say Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs, don't say cap and trade. It's a scam. You schmucks, you don't even know who's running your country. You have no idea. Now, if these gonoffs from NYU and Columbia Law, who became investment bankers, had America's interest at heart, I wouldn't care that they're running the country. I wouldn't care. Say, well, they're the brightest guys around. If guys who did fly fishing stuff, that wonderful, nice fly fisherman, Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin, who worked for Clinton, if this guy had a scintilla of interest in America and our national security, and Hank Paulson, another wonderful man who worked the Treasury for Bush, if these men cared about America's future and America's security, I'd say good luck to them. They're very smart guys. But I don't believe they do. I believe they're total thieves. My personal gut feeling tells me that they're worse than Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff is a chain snatcher compared to those guys. Bernie Madoff was a chain snatcher compared to the Treasury secretaries. That's what I think. You think they give a damn about their grandchildren frying 10 years from now from a nuclear exchange? These guys don't have a soul. In my opinion, they're hollow men. They're empty men. They're shells. They live only for the adding machine. They wouldn't know what America was if they tripped over it. They wouldn't know what the U.S. Constitution was if you slapped them in the face with it. They wouldn't know what the American flag was if you wiped their faces with it. That's what I think about them. And who agrees with me? You do. But where's the party that represents us? Where is the voice in Congress that represents you? Oh, I'm sorry, it's Al Frankenstein. He just is the newest senator. He represents the American people. That's right, the clown from Saturday Night Live goes into the biggest comedy club in history, the U.S. Senate. He represents the American people. So we're in a real bad state right now. We got a president selling us out on a daily basis as fast as he can before the American people stand up and say, stop him before he kills us all. Something's wrong with the picture. Why, you ask yourself, does this president, this irresponsible, naive president, if you want to call him that, that's a positive, by the way. See, I'm not calling him a traitor and a conspiracy theorist or a Manchurian candidate. I said this naive president, why is he racing to push through all of these bills? Socialized medicine, socialized auto industry, socialized banking, socialized cap and trade. Why is he pushing it as fast as he can? Because he knows you're going to find out who he is eventually, and it's going to come sooner than he even thought. If it's only July and already he's in negatives, where do you think he's going to be by December? Tell me where he's going to be in December. You think he can recover from this? Impossible. So why are they pushing all of this so fast? Because they have to. Because the minute you wake up, you're going to start screaming and yelling. You're going to tell the schmuck who's your congressman, you're throwing him out on his butt. You're going to put a dog catcher in, you're throwing him out, and they'll have to get a job. He'll have to go out and rob your jewelry or something in order to make a living rather than robbing the taxpayers. So they're pushing through as much left-wing, internationalist, garbage as they can to get very down in the gutter with you. And now we wake up and you say, well, it's only, you know, business as usual. The Republicans were crooks. They were. They were terrible crooks. They were evil. They were evil. They were some of the most evildoers I've ever seen in my life. They even went to war and kept the war going, crippling and killing men, American men, crippling and killing American men, only to make profit off the war machine. They were war profiteers of the worst kind. They were warmongers and war profiteers of the worst kind. That is why they would not win the war in Iraq, because they didn't want to win the war. They figured, well, 30 men a month losing their eyes, 30 men a day losing their feet, doesn't matter. As long as the money goes into Goldman Sachs, as long as the money goes into those who put him in office, they were the worst of the worst. So look what we have now. You thought it couldn't get any worse than Bush? Wake up, my friends. It just got worse than Bush. In about 5 minutes or so, Scott Rasmussen on the Savage Nation with the news you will not read nor hear anywhere else, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Okay, welcome back to Savage Nation. We've been talking about Obama holding a fire sale of America's nuclear defenses in Moscow. But prior to this discussion and us discovering that this was going on, the Rasmussen poll came out showing that by their facts and their excellent polling, Obama's approval index rating has actually gone into a negative 5. Many of you are bad at statistics, but I don't think this is too hard to follow. Mr. Rasmussen, please welcome to the Savage Nation. You're on the program. Tell the people how you do your polling. Hello, Scott.
I'm here.
Hi, how do you do your polling?
We do an automated telephone poll, and we call thousands of people every night. We make sure we reach people all across the country in different types of settings, different demographics, and we make sure that the sample we end up with reflects the nation at large.
All right, so it's not based upon voters only? Is it based upon the population at large or voters only?
Well, it depends on the poll that we're doing. When we poll on business topics, we do consumer and investor confidence every night. That's on all adults. When we do our political polling, especially with the approval index for the president, that is based on a group of sample of likely voters.
All right. Your latest rating, your index rating of 70809, shows an approval of 32%. Is that not rather low for a president so early in his career?
These numbers are the number who strongly approve and who strongly disapprove in our index rating. So 32% strongly approve. Another 20% out there say they somewhat approve. And what that means, if you add it all together, it's 52%, which is just about the same total, the same number of people who voted for the president last November. The honeymoon is coming to an end. He's no longer enjoying the great ratings he had back in January, February. And a year from today, his numbers will depend on where the economy goes from here.
That's an interesting point that I wanted to ask you about. In your internal look at the polls, what do you think is the single biggest factor or the three biggest factors that are keeping him from having a higher approval? Or conversely, why is his disapproval stuck at 48%? General Motors, you mentioned, is one of the issues?
When the president first ran into trouble was during the first stimulus debate when the House Republicans voted unanimously against it. Republicans began to rally at that time, and their disapproval of the president went up. The General Motors takeover is problematic. The American people do not like it. In fact, GM owners are skeptical. Only 42% of GM owners say they're likely to buy another GM car. There are concerns about the quality, and there are just concerns about the process of government ownership. And then most recently, you know, those numbers had been heading downwards a little bit at a time. Last week's jobs report pushed the president down a little bit further in his ratings, also pushed consumer confidence down to the lowest level in 2 months, and pushed investor confidence down to the lowest level in 3 months. What it did, it changed the storyline from the economy was bad when Barack Obama took office, but generally the signs are getting better, to saying, oh my gosh, this is not what we expected, and the economy is not doing better, and people are now skeptical about the stimulus. They're skeptical about many of the programs that are being proposed that involve more government spending.
This is interesting. So it always comes down to the issues of bread and butter to the voter. Those are the biggest issues in a time of relative peace. So we don't see any loss of popularity based upon national security issues, the issue of where he was born, any of those other things. It's all based on the economy and dollars and cents?
At this point in time, that is true. There are cycles that these numbers go through. You know, when President Bush ran for re-election, the driving issue was the situation in Iraq and the broader war on terror. And when those numbers moved, the president's numbers moved. But right now, at this point in the Obama administration, to quote James Carville, it's the economy, stupid. I mean, that is what is driving it. All of the rest of the numbers, the people who are upset about where the president was born, you know what? They were never going to support him to begin with in terms of these approval polls. The people who have national security concerns generally disapproved of this president beforehand. If you look at the people that still say that's the top issue, very low support. where the president had enjoyed very strong support were among people who said the economy was the top issue, and that's where they're starting to have some doubts.
All right, Scott Rasmussen, his new poll shows a negative 5. That's the approval versus disapproval. But you're saying that really hasn't moved from when he took power, or has it?
No. It's down to when he first took office, his strong approval numbers were in the mid-40s, and hardly anybody disapproved. Those numbers have moved dramatically since January, and in fact have moved dramatically over the last week in response to this Jobs.
So strongly approved 32, strongly disapproved 37, that's a minus 5. Back in January of 2009, it was strongly approved 44, strongly disapproved 16. So it was a real plus there. It was like a 28, a plus 28. It's now a minus 5.
Right. And that's a huge swing.
Okay. Now that leads us to the next question. Relative to the last president, Bush, in his 2000 period, or would it be 201? I can't even remember anymore. Let's say his first 5 months. Would you say it was the same?
Entirely different dynamics, but the numbers were moving to about the same point. If you recall, President Bush in that first time he was elected, it was a disputed election. He wasn't even named president-elect until several months had gone by.
Yes.
And what we ended up seeing was George Bush's approval numbers went up to about the level where Barack Obama's are now, whereas Barack Obama has been sliding down because he started with a larger majority. On September 11th, 2001, the world that we knew changed, and George Bush's numbers changed dramatically, went sky high for a period of time, really unlike anything we've seen from a normal presidential approval.
Hmm. Well, this is interesting. From what I'm learning from this is that at the end of the day, it's all dollars and cents and bread and butter issues.
Yeah, there's people want to compare presidents. They want to compare policies. President Reagan got a huge boost. He had one of the biggest increases in his approval in the first 100 days, but that's because he survived an assassination attempt and did it with good grace and humor, and people loved him. You can't make these comparisons because events are different.
Yeah.
And there's almost always a single issue that is driving the public concern, and most of the time, 2004 was an exception, most of the time, it is the bread and butter issues. It is the, and by the way, it's even closer to home than that. When we poll on perceptions of the economy, on the nation's economy, the biggest decisive factor for most Americans is what they see around them at their workplace. If their company is laying people off, they have a very negative view of the overall economy. If their company is hiring, they have a much more positive view.
Hmm. So the bottom line, the take-home line for someone driving around in a car right now somewhere in America listening to this show is that Obama's negatives have gone way up, his approvals have gone down, and it's continuing to change on us, and it's all related to the economy, basically.
That's right, and if you're looking ahead, here in New Jersey where I live, we have a governor's race this fall. If the president's numbers continue to sink, it will have some political impact on Governor Corzine's bid for re-election. He is trailing right now. But looking to 2010, people want to know what the president's numbers are going to be like. And the answer is, tell me what the economy is doing, and I'll tell you what his numbers look like. If GM is hiring people and paying taxpayers back and the economy is humming along, you know what? The president's numbers will be great. Democrats will have a good year.
Mm-hmm.
If GM is asking for more bailout money and there are more economic problems and unemployment is still high, the president's numbers will be down and Democrats will be in a very difficult environment for the 2010 elections.
Well, all my life I've said, what are polls? What do they know? But, I have a doctorate in epidemiology, so I know statistics can be very accurate if they're done accurately and they're done scientifically. Now, you started a company, Mr. Rasmussen, that is independent. You've never been a campaign pollster. You've never consulted for candidates. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And yet what's interesting to me is that the minute you're going to show a poll like this, the Obama lovers are going to say that you're a right-winger. That's what's going to happen tomorrow.
Well, that's all right. You should see the hate mail I got from McCain's people in the election season when I kept saying Barack Obama was up by 6 points.
I see.
One of the things you learn in this business is whenever you have results people don't like, they find reasons to attack you and dislike you. And whenever you come up with results that you know, that they do like. They tell you how great you are. It's a little bit like being an umpire in a baseball game.
Or like being a talk show host. your main competitor, Gallup, also just published a similar result. You were first, but he says approval dips to new low.
Yep. The trends that they're showing are the same thing, and the dip has come since since that jobs report came out, the most recent dip. So, yes, we see the same sorts of trends. There's also state polling out in Ohio that shows the president's approval dropping there, and the president is below 50% approval in Virginia, as you recall, a key state that he won last year.
Well, looking within your own polling, Scott, I have to ask you, can you break it down by subject and do polls on the subject? For example, cap and trade. Most Americans don't know what it is, but they know that it's taxing. It's going to put businesses in a bind. Do they know that yet? Have they figured that out?
The answer is probably not for most people. You know, we did a poll. We asked them what cap and trade was. Only 24% knew an environmental issue. The rest thought it was some kind of either Wall Street regulation.
A new hat. Perhaps they thought it was a new hat bill or something.
And part of the reason for that is because it just never got the exposure that that some other issues did. When we talk about right after the climate change bill that was passed by the House a week or so ago, mm-hmm. and we didn't use the phrase cap and trade, we just asked about that legislation and then we probed about it. What you find is the American people are evenly divided on that issue. 42% of them say it's likely to be bad for the economy. And I can tell you that when people forget the specifics of an issue, people's gut instinct is that higher taxes are bad for the economy and higher government spending is bad for the economy. Right now, when we talk about these bigger issues or these conceptual issues, there's huge opposition to the idea of a second stimulus package.
Yeah, I want to ask you why. Why are the people opposed to that? What do they figure out?
They figure out that it's spending. Because at the same time that we're hearing that, there's support, a majority support across the board tax cut for all Americans. These are basic instincts. Now, when you look at the first stimulus package, only 31% of Americans think it's helped. So there is a little bit of we've seen this, we've tried it, we've heard about it, we don't see an impact, let's not spend more money on it.
What about socialized medicine, or as they say, or whatever they're calling it, Obamacare? Have you polled on that?
Oh, we have done countless polls on the topic of health care over time. And right now, if you ask about the proposal that Obama and the Democrats are working on, you get 50% who say they like the idea, 45% who don't. Those with strong opinions are more likely to be opposed. The underlying issue, and this is something that amazes me, is not more a part of the debate. Most Americans believe our health care system can be improved. Only about a third say that it's good or excellent.
Hmm.
However, people that are insured overwhelmingly say their own coverage is good or excellent. And so that creates a situation where when you say the phrase healthcare reform, people like the idea. They like the idea of doing things to fix the system. They like the idea of expanding coverage to those who should have it but for some reason don't. But if you tell somebody that under a new plan they're going to have to give up their own current insurance coverage, support falls dramatically. Reason for that, people, whatever frustrations they have, they know how to work the system with their current coverage.
Yes.
And Americans overwhelmingly believe that no matter how bad something is, Congress could always make it worse.
Well, that's interesting. There's another area that I'm interested in. If you got another second here, we talked about polling on general approval, economy, health care, cap and trade, the environment. What other big issue have you polled that is worth mentioning right now, Mr. Rasmussen?
Well, we poll all the time on the international issues that are out there. And one of the things that I think is most surprising to people who are wrapped up in this is that despite the president's overtures, people see very little. They have virtually no expectation of change over the coming year in terms of our relations with the Palestinian nations, with the Muslim nations. There is also a growing concern about the way the president is dealing with the nation of Israel. And
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you on that issue alone. Has America moved away from supporting Israel?
The individuals in America have not. If we asked a question a little while ago, if Israel attacked Iran, you know, what should the U.S. response be? And about half the nation said we should help Israel. About 40% said we shouldn't do anything, and hardly anybody said we should really try to deter them or help Iran.
Hmm. Interesting. Fascinating. Well, I love true statistics. I love them very much because I know numbers can lie, and I know they can also tell a little bit of the truth, and I really appreciate someone who knows the difference. And Scott Rasmussen, I hope you come back on the Savage Nation on a regular basis.
Well, I'd look forward to it, and happy to be part of the show anytime.
Particularly if you continue to bring us bad news about Obama.
Well, I will bring you the news. Whether it's good or bad is up to the world out there.
I understand. Thank you very much for being with us. It is 11 minutes to the hour. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I found him to be tough, smart, very unsentimental. I think he's a practical person. And to the extent that there are common interests, like fighting terrorism, potentially nuclear proliferation, where he believes that working with the United States advances Russian goals, I think he can be a potential partner.
When he believes, meaning Putin, that the U.S. will advance Russian goals, he, meaning Putin, can potentially be a partner. Now, what is that saying about our leader? He's saying that when the man he is meeting agrees that he can manipulate him, he'll be his partner. You hear this? See, this is what I mean by electing a college president, a professor to a presidency. He doesn't know the first thing about business. Businessman doesn't say to you, hey, if this guy thinks that he can make money with me or get an advantage over me, he'll be a good partner. Businessman says, well, we both got to win here. He didn't say that, did he? That's because Obama has never created a business, run a business, met a payroll, doesn't know the first thing about what it means to be taxed, doesn't know what it means to go around government regulations to try to make a buck. You have a college teacher who never did anything except he, by his own admission, 2 months ago, he said, actually a month ago, he jokingly said, well, I don't really do anything but move paper around. So that's what we have now, a paper pusher for president. Well, I think I've made my point thus far today. I'll let you think about it, let these thoughts percolate within your brain tonight. Right now, I'd like to point you to another very important article that I didn't get to today that I'll try to elaborate on tomorrow, assuming there is a tomorrow. J'accuse England, J'accuse America by Professor Ellis Washington, where he suspects a collusion between two nations to ban Savage. And he says, on January 13th, 1898, the celebrated French writer and intellectual Émile Zola risked his career and endangered his life when his letter, J'accuse, was published on the front page of the Paris daily Le Roi. This famous letter was a scathing indictment against the French government for unjustly in condemning a war hero, Captain Alfred Dreyfus, to Devil's Island and covering up evidence of his innocence. This letter has stood through the ages as a singular expression of indignation and accusation against powerful persons, organizations, and nations. Now, 100 years later, the Dreyfus affair has now crossed the English Channel in the case of Michael Savage. It's astonishing. You must read this to understand the historical context of Michael Savage being banned in England. He has his own theories, and I will not bore you with my interpretation of his suspicions. But the fact of the matter is, Michael Savage is now banned from the UK. My name has been put next to murderers, and I am simply a talk show host who has never done evil. I've only done good. Only done good. Only done good. I have helped the environment. I have helped animals. I have helped people. And yet, they had the nerve to put me in with mass murderers.
Savage. We'll be right back.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's some of the big articles that we talked about today in the Savage Nation. Obama's polls have taken a monster dive. Rasmussen poll, certainly not a conservative, not a liberal, he's a pollster. He's documented the decline of Obama, covered up by the media. The people themselves in this country are not that stupid. No matter what the media does, the people still know what's going on. And I believe that he's in for the largest relative fall in the history of the presidency once the people truly understand what this man is and what he's doing. Remember, Obama was the most leftist senator in history. Do you think he has changed his stripes now that he's president? He's moved even further to the left than he was as a senator. That leads us to the second topic. Obama sold out America and the press covered for him. What do I mean by that? Well, according to a British journalist, Gerald Warner, we learned that Barack Obama is holding a fire sale of America's nuclear defenses in Moscow. It's unbelievable. That's such a big story. The fact is, he's agreed to reduce the number of American nuclear weapons. This at the same time that we have the greatest threats in a generation. North Korea firing missiles at the U.S. China encouraging them or letting them to do it. Iran on the way to getting nukes. And Obama just gave away the store. It doesn't look like the public is being fooled. I showed you that. A recent poll says that 64% of Americans thought that there was too much Jackson coverage. Hello, you're not alone listening to the Savage Nation. You're amongst the 64% who said the man was a pedophile and a stinker. The public hates the media. There's also an article called J'accuse England, J'accuse America by Dr. Ellis Washington, who has compared the case of Michael Savage being banned in Britain and linked with the worst people on earth to the Dreyfus Affair. What's the Dreyfus Affair? Keep listening to the Savage Nation and you'll learn a little history. I don't know if you know this, but Obama has given away the store to the Russians. He's agreed. Well, let me back up. While you were dancing to Michael Jackson's idiotic tunes, Obama has agreed to cut back on nuclear weapons during one of the most dangerous times this country has faced in decades. You certainly didn't hear about it because of the endless Michael Jackson coverage and cover-up. But Obama's agreed to give up a third of our missiles. In case the empty suits forgot about it, here it is again.
We have taken important steps forward to strengthen our security through greater cooperation. President Medvedev and I agreed upon the need to combat the threat of violent extremism, particularly from Al-Qaeda. And today we've signed an agreement that will allow the transit of lethal military equipment through Russia to Afghanistan. This is a substantial contribution by Russia to our international effort, and it will save the United States time and resources in giving our troops the support that they need.
But wait, it gets worse. It sounds as though Obama, the leftist, is laying the groundwork for a whole series of agreements to weaken us. Listen.
Thanks to Admiral Mullen and his Russian counterpart, we've also agreed to resume military-to-military cooperation between the United States and Russia. This provides a framework for improved cooperation and interoperability between our armed forces so that we can better address the threats that we face from terrorism to privacy.
You see, Obama is living in a fantasy world, a world of anti-Vietnam protesters and calls for nuclear disarmament. He's trying to make peace with a country who won't lay down their arms while we do, and who will stab us in the back if we're not careful. He keeps going. Play the clip.
President Medvedev and I are committed to leaving behind the suspicion and the rivalry of the past so that we can advance the interests that we hold in common. Today, we've made meaningful progress in demonstrating through deeds and words what a more constructive U.S.-Russian relationship can look like in the 21st century.
Leave behind the suspicion and rivalry of the past? Mr. President, as usual, you're being dangerously naive. Putin is not naive, and he's ready to take advantage of your naivete. Obama is selling out America again, agreeing to cut back American nuclear missiles by one-third, showing weakness before our enemies who have nuclear weapons, such as Russia, China, and North Korea, and to those who are seeking nuclear weapons, such as Iran. For America to reduce its nuclear stockpile and to take down its superiority is total insanity. We are facing a global situation where nuclear weapons are proliferating, not receding. There are nukes in Pakistan, which now is on the verge of falling into Islamo-fascist control. Now is the worst possible time for America to disarm, and yet that's exactly what our college professor president is doing. Did you hear me? As of 2007, Russia had a superiority of 2,146 land-based nukes to our 1,600. This is counterbalanced by a U.S. superiority in sea-launched and air-launched U.S. warheads. But the bottom line is that Russia is now in the lead in ICBM development, not America. Why would they be developing ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, meaning aiming them at another continent? We've handed our hopes for the future to our PR men and taken it out of the hands of our generals. Obama doesn't care about American security. All he wants is a feel-good news conference and a photo op to rally his far-left base, who still maintain peacenik delusions of the 1960s. This appears to be his first step. Undoubtedly, Obama will sacrifice the anti-missile shield in Europe, making our allies defenseless against a nuclear Iran. And at home, we still can't trust Russia. They stand as a roadblock to action against Iran in the UN. They act with China to shield the madman in North Korea. And we have no way of verifying that they will cut back on their own missiles. Obama thinks he's acting for peace, but what he's doing is taking us apart piece by piece. Ladies and gentlemen, we are witnessing the sellout of the United States of America. While you schmucks were dancing to Michael Jackson's funeral, your president, Barack Hussein Obama, held a fire sale of our nuclear defenses in Moscow. Make no mistake about it, this is unprecedented. We are putting ourselves at risk if we permit this to go forward. Now, I'd like to ask you a question. Does the president have the sole authority to act on the behalf of the American people without any congressional approval? Are you living in a dictatorship or are you living in a democracy? I'll let you decide. The fact of the matter is, I am not the only one who is saying this. There's a superb article by a British columnist named Gerald Warner who wrote exactly what I just said. And he said, "No apologies for posting consecutively on Barack Obama. The Looney Tunes president sellout of U.S. and Western interests is proceeding at such a speed that it is difficult to keep pace." Well said, Niall Gardner, for asking if Barack Obama is the most naive president in American history. The answer is yes, unless he has a secret agenda to cut America down to size. Listen carefully what I'm talking about, because I'm going to tell you liberals something that you're finally going to understand. Just as I coined the phrase, "microbes do not discriminate," way back in my book, Maximum Immunity, when I was writing about the AIDS epidemic and other epidemiological illnesses, I said that microbes do not discriminate. It's been copied by many, but I created that phrase. I also will tell you that nuclear weapons do not discriminate. When they come flying in without a missile defense shield, they won't know that you're a good fellow communist or a good liberal. They won't know that you're locked in amber. They won't know that you still wear your tie-dyes with pride. They won't know that you're an enemy of America. You'll go just with everyone else. Read the article. He said it was always in Russia that Obama threatened to do the most damage. And he said his supposed missile deal with Vladimir Putin is very satisfactory to Russian ambitions and realpolitik. And then you could read about the nuclear power balance and what this really means. And then he writes this. "For America voluntarily to reduce its nuclear superiority is madness. Beyond pensant talk of a nuclear-free world displays total stupidity in a global situation where nuclear weaponry is proliferating, not receding. There is even a nuclear bomb in Pakistan, which is teetering on the brink of failed statehood at the hands of Islamist insurgents. Is this a time for America to disarm, to sell the store, as one trenchant right-wing commentator has already described Obama's posturing in Moscow? Is it time to sell the store? For Obama's success is not the delivery of watertight nuclear security for America. It is a feel-good news conference and photo opportunity that will create huge approval ratings on liberal campuses where the delusions of 1968 and the anti-Vietnam War movement still linger on in these isolated Jurassic Parks. It seems certain Obama will sacrifice the anti-missile shield in Europe that would have been our defense against a nuclear Iran after the Ayatollahs, with Russian help, emerge as potential vaporizing agents of the infidel. The interceptor missiles do not even carry warheads. They rely on an impact at 14,900 miles an hour to destroy any incoming missile. So Russian hysteria about this, quote, threat is synthetic. Where I disagree, and I don't want to read the rest of the article. Read it yourself. Barack Obama holds a fire sale of America's nuclear defenses in Moscow by Gerald Warner. It is from the Telegraph blogs out of England. It's up on michaelsavage.com. Combined with this, though, is a ray of hope. The ray of hope comes from the Rasmussen poll. The Rasmussen poll says Obama's approval index drops to all-time low. So apparently the American people are not gulled by the schmucks and the vermin in the media. The daily presidential tracking poll shows only 32% of voters approve of Obama's performance. Did you hear that? 32%, not 60%, as Wolf Blitz and that vermin talks about. It's 32%. And 37% disapprove of this fraud, giving Obama a rating of negative 5, all-time low. You won't read that, will you? But you schmucks were gulled yesterday, weren't you? You putzes didn't understand when I was telling you why the vermin in the media were pushing this pervert in your face for days, this Michael Jackson pedophile, day in and day out. Why? All the while, it was planned that Obama was selling out America at the same time. Did you hear what I just said to you? If you think that there's no conspiracy between the government and the media, you're living in a dreamland. You belong at NYU. And if you don't belong at NYU, then you belong at an even worse campus. You belong at Harvard. This is the Savage Nation. Barack Obama holds a fire sale of America's nuclear defense in Moscow, and you were dancing to Michael Jackson's music. There is a concurrent article on michaelsavage.com from WND, which is entitled J'accuse England, J'accuse America. And in this article, Professor Washington has a theory as to why Michael Savage was banned in Britain. He compares Michael Savage and the problems I am having with the dictatorship of England with the Dreyfus Affair. Many of you don't know what the Dreyfus Affair was, and I don't say you should. It's not something I would think you should carry around with you, but it's important that you read about it and see where we are today with regard to the situation in the United States of America. So we have three articles to talk about. Obama selling out America's nuclear defenses in Moscow. Obama's approval index drops to an all-time low. And Michael Savage compared to the Dreyfus Affair. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Recently talked about Obama's agreement with Russia to reduce our nuclear arsenal. No doubt this is a terrible idea at this time. Diplomacy through weakness never works. Joining us now is Niall Gardner, whose recent article on the Telegraph website asks the basic question, is Obama the most naive president in U.S. history? Hello.
It is hard to fathom what the United States will gain from Barack Obama's much-hyped agreement with Dmitry Medvedev to further cut America's nuclear arsenal. Washington and Moscow have agreed in principle a framework to reduce their nukes by about a third, to 1,500 to 1,675 warheads over the next 7 years. Even more significantly, the two leaders have pledged to cut their nuclear delivery systems, intercontinental ballistic missiles and long-range bombers, for example, to just 500 to 1,100 units. A move that works greatly to Russia's advantage, as its force projection is far weaker than the United States in this area. The new deal, which Obama hopes to wrap up with the Kremlin by December, creates a far more level playing field for the Russians, whose strategic conventional weapons capability is greatly outclassed by that of the Americans, and whose deteriorating nuclear weapons stockpile is aging and in decline.
This doesn't make any sense at all. We're weakening ourselves at a time where our enemies are getting stronger.
The whole agreement makes no sense, and is little more than a vanity exercise for Barack Obama, who has ludicrously pledged to carve out a nuclear-free world. Surely a better strategy would be to further build up America's defenses, including a global missile defense shield, rather than cut defense spending and further gut the superpower's nuclear capability. At this rate, even Jimmy Carter looks like General Patton compared to the dove-like current U.S. president.
Crazy.
Why cut nuclear weapons at a time when rogue regimes such as North Korea and Iran are busy building their own programs? Does the president seriously believe this move will encourage the likes of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad or Kim Jong-il to renounce their nuclear designs? What evidence is there in history that a unilateral policy of disarmament will prompt tyrannical regimes to change their behavior? It is also unclear what kind of odious quid pro quo deal Washington will have to sign up to in order to move the agreement forward. President Medvedev, who serves as little more than Vladimir Putin's right hand, has made it abundantly clear that the United States will have to sacrifice any plans for a third-site missile defense system in Eastern and Central Europe for Moscow to sign up to a new arms treaty. This would be a huge betrayal of key U.S. allies Poland and the Czech Republic. No doubt Moscow will also demand the Obama administration give the Russians a bigger say over NATO expansion eastwards, including blocking the entry of Georgia and Ukraine. By agreeing to a grand bargain with the Medvedev-Putin regime, President Obama has unwisely opened a Pandora's box of concessions that will only enhance Russia's hand in its near abroad. At the same time, the Obama administration's naive approach will strengthen the resolve of America's enemies, such as Iran, to aggressively pursue their nuclear ambitions and exploit the weakness of a president who is gravely undercutting American global power in an increasingly dangerous world.
Thanks for the report, Niall Gardner. This plan is unbelievable. The world is becoming more and more dangerous with Iran and Korea and the like getting nukes. We may be only diminishing our ability to defend ourselves. I pray someone stops Obama before we are defenseless.
Savage.
Our commitments, so we must ensure that other nations keep theirs. To that end, we had constructive discussions about North Korea and Iran. North Korea has abandoned its own commitments and violated international law. And that's why I'm pleased that Russia joined us in passing a UN Security Council resolution that calls for strong steps to block North Korea's nuclear and ballistic missile programs.
This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine. We, the German Führer and Chancellor, and the British Prime Minister, have had a further meeting today and are agreed in recognizing that the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe. We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Which class are you in? Those who know their history or those who do not know their history? I am trying to instruct America before it is too late. I am playing a soundbite from our naive Fabian socialist president, and I'm giving him, by the way, the most positive view. I don't accept that he's a traitor. I don't accept that he's a sellout. I don't say, he's a stealth this. That. I believe I'm going to give him the credit for the fact that he's a naive man from a university background. The skids have been greased for him his entire life. The man has never truly worked for anything in his life. Everything was handed to him. And here is a man who flies off on a regular basis, giving away America's dignity and now giving away America's nuclear superiority to Russia at a time that North Korea is launching weapons at a time when Iran wants a nuclear weapon, at a time when nukes could be going loose in Pakistan. So I play for you Obama saying he just came back and signed the joint understanding to cut delivery systems with Mr. Putin. We want peace. Then I play for you Neville Chamberlain back in the 1930s, 39, I believe, coming back with a similar statement saying Herr Hitler and he have come to an agreement that we'll never go to war again. Hitler then used the weakness of Chamberlain to go and invade the next nation in the list. Do you have any idea what I am telling you? When in the world are you going to wake up to what is going on right in front of your eyes? Uh-huh. On to other topics. When was the last time you heard President Obama mention terrorism? What was considered the hot topic during the elections by the media has now not been spoken about since the election. Instead, it's been Michael Jackson's glove. Joining us now to talk about this is James Carafano.
Michael, thank you for having me, and thanks for bringing attention to this issue.
James, your last piece on Heritage lists 23 terror plots foiled since 9/11. How did you come up with this exact number?
All we did is read newspapers, all right? Well, all we did was list every single terrorist attack where somebody was trying to try to come to the United States or in the United States try to kill Americans, where, you know, somebody was arrested and brought to court. Now, and this doesn't include, you know, the stuff we don't talk about, the stuff that, the CIA stopped and all that kind of stuff. This is just the stuff that's in the public record. We actually did this report in 2007. It was 19. We're up to 23. And if there's a message here is, dude, they're still trying to kill us. You know, we have to take this stuff seriously. That's the bottom line message of the report. And the other thing is you can't pick your danger du jour. And if there's one thing you see when you read these 23 terrorist attacks, the only thing you learn is they don't have anything in common. Some of them were, you know, people that went overseas, got radicalized and came back. Some got radicalized in prison. You know, some just became yahoos on the internet. Some people were terrorists trying to come here. Some of these plots are pretty serious. You know, some of them were pretty scatterbrained. So, but the point is that there is no pattern. You can't just, you know, let's, you know, persecute one kind of person or go after this thing or, you know, go hang out in mosques or something. You have to be vigilant all the time because you never know how the enemy's going to come at you. And, you know, a lot of these, you look at these attacks and you say, okay, well, that might not have worked. But you know what? If you look in our history, some of the most devastating attacks have been by just idiots, you know, who were more lucky than good. I mean, John Wilkes Booth, you know, he's an idiot to think that might work, and it did. The guy that did the Murrah office bombing, that shouldn't have worked, and it did. Even the 9/11 hijackers, you know, they weren't Einsteins, and look what they accomplished. So you have to take all this stuff seriously. And I guess I walk away after reading this report saying, you know, are we doing all the things we're supposed to be doing to protect the country, you know, to make sure that, you know, we're not violating people's civil liberties, you know, we're not becoming a police state. You know, we're doing things that are smart. We're not bankrupting the country by doing stupid security. You know, are we doing all those things? And you, some of these things, you just got to scratch your head with the administration that's going on here. You still, for example, we see the Department of Justice and Department of Homeland Security squabbling over, you know, who's in charge of coordinating with the state and local government. That makes no sense. We just had a guy that was up for the chief intelligence job in the Department of Homeland Security. And somebody said, oh, well, he knew about the guys being waterboard at Guantanamo, so he's not qualified. This guy was a nonpartisan, highly qualified individual, had respect throughout the federal government, and he had to step aside just because of political correctness. And you know what the administration said? Nothing. They just let it happen.
Unbelievable.
So we lost a great public servant. For what? We've got some really telling things coming up. You remember the Patriot Act? This was the thing Michael Moore hated. You know, this is going to be the end of democracy. You know, he made millions and millions of dollars on this movie, you know, kind of slamming the Patriot Act. And here we are, you know, 7 years later. And what's changed in America? Well, nothing from the Patriot Act. Not one constitutional challenge to the Patriot Act. Point to me to an abuse of the law. And when you look at these terrorist attacks, a lot of them were foiled using the investigative authority and tools that were in the Patriot Act. So it made a difference in making us safer. Some of those provisions have to be renewed by Congress this year. So we'll see what the administration does. You know, will they stand up and push this through Congress like it needs to get done? People remember FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that sets up the court that oversees the secret wiretapping. There's a big hullabaloo about that. Congress finally reauthorized it. Some of that's coming up for reauthorization this year. That's an important tool. We'll see what the president does with that.
And now we have to rely on Obama to keep us safe?
You know, when was the last time you heard this president say the word Homeland Security? Well, when was the last time you heard him say, we need to fight terrorism? You know, we just cannot go back to sleep like we did before 9/11, because that's just going to give us another 9/11. So I commend this report to people who think that there is no terrorist threat at all. There's nothing we need to worry about. You know, we can, you know, relax our guard. We don't have to worry about terrorism anymore. You know, we don't have to worry about radical Islamic extremism. Read this report. Look and read about where these people are, what they're trying to do, and what works in trying to stop them. It's 23 plots foiled since 9/11, Terrorist Watch. It's on our website at www.heritage.org. As always, you know, God bless you for focusing on these kinds of issues and reminding Americans, you know, that they need to be vigilant, because if they're not vigilant, if they don't hold their public officials accountable, if they don't ask them questions, if they're not informed citizens, then government's going to go back to sleep, or it's government's going to do what it wants, which is raise taxes, you know, combat global warming, you know, regulate how much carbon dioxide you can breathe, the fun stuff. They're not going to focus on the hard things, which is stopping the people who are trying to kill us.
Thanks for keeping us up to date and for being on the Savage Nation, James Carafano.
Savage.
To Friday. It's getting longer each week, Friday. Almost the summertime. If I was normal, I'd be planning a vacation. I was a normal person. What do you do? You go away for 2 weeks, go fishing? What do you do, eh? What do normal people do? Disneyland? Your kids are young, all right. I went to Disneyland once. I needed to take Valium the whole time. I did. I couldn't tell you. I almost lost my mind. It's like I went to Masada. I had to take a Valium. A bus ride from Jerusalem took forever. Here is where the soldiers held off the Romans. Then what? Then they were all slaughtered. Great. How exciting. I can envision the soldiers throwing themselves off the cliff. That made sense. They just should have given up and had to, you know, open a pizzeria. Would have been better, a better choice. 2 years the siege went on. Then eventually they came up and killed and threw them off the swords. Great. What am I standing here for over the Sea of Galilee? But Disneyland was about the same experience. Horrible, mind-numbing. My mind feels like when I get around places like that, these amusement parks, when the kids were younger, it was like so hard for me to deal with that. People think that when you have children, you have to like act extra normal. That's what drives children into drugs. When you try to conform to some hallmark card of what you should do with your children, that's when a child reaches for drugs. I mean, try to lead the life that you want to lead with kids, you know, and let them tag along. Don't do what's good for them necessarily, because they're going to hate it as much as you do. Do you ever see children on vacations with their parents? They're bored out of their minds. I'm talking about after they're like infants. What does an infant know? And a young child, whatever you do is fine. There's nothing more depressing than seeing a couple, let's say, like the hardest age to take kids on a vacation is like, let's say, the girl is 12 already, and she's just at that point where, okay, and then the boy is maybe 14, he's already been on the internet too long, in the locked bay, and so you take them on vacation. It's like taking along an adult couple who you detest, and you're paying the bill, and they don't want to talk to you over dinner. They don't want to be with you. You ever see them like in the hotels around the world, like in Hawaii, the 12 and 14-year-old kid and the couple? Hey, we're having a good time. You would like another macadamia nut sundae? Dad, please, you know, the girl's already looking at the bus boy and the boy is looking at the bus girl and they don't want to be there. They wish their parents gone without. So having a couple with you and they don't talk to you and you're paying the bill. And the whole flight home, everyone's like, ugh, depressed on the plane. That's two week vacation. I had to take a painting when the kids were young. It got so bad. I was on such the precipice of the hotel balcony. I went and got a watercolor set. I still have those pictures somewhere. I bet you they bring a lot of money today if I auction them off. Some of them were quite good. One was a picture of a car. I remember that to this day, I did a watercolor of an automobile without wheels, with four, like two adults and two children going nowhere, with a little island in the middle of it. That's quite an interesting picture when you think about it. Because you always like rent the car. Oh, now what? Let's go on the H1 freeway and see the traffic. Then let's go to a Porky Boy diner and see the hostile locals. It's unbelievable. I love they usually drive Dodge Chargers and eat double cheeseburgers and hate the Howley. I knew it was time to get out of there. Everything they took was from the Howley, and everything they hated was from the Howley. Forget about it. That's why I came here to wonderful San Francisco, the land of freedom. Yeah, huh? You hear the chains rattling as they beat each other with them. I guess you could say living well is the best revenge. What am I going to do tonight after the show is over? What I do every night. God willing, I will have dinner and I will drink. But tonight I will drink more than I drank last night, even though last night I had one beer, not more than one beer, actually. I think tonight I'm going to go a little further. I'm starting to get a nightmare view of what's coming in this country. I'm getting a nightmare view of a government that we will wake up to one day which says, I have signed a treaty with fill in the blank. In order that we achieve and maintain peace around the world, we are asking you to voluntarily give up your guns. I have agreed with the United Nations that anyone who earns over fill in the blank is a pig. And that pig must now turn over his property in order for the betterment of humanity. I can make it up. I can fantasize. I can theorize. I can strategize. I can capitalize on your fears. But let me tell you something. What I am talking about today is based upon cold, white-knuckled reality. Your president just told you that while you were dancing at Michael Jackson's gold coffin, a pedophile, a talentless imp who had not produced a record in 20 years that anyone knows of. The media gulled you. They produced a mass hysteria. And like minnows caught up in an outgoing tide, you went along with it. Who was the only one in the media telling you that there was something up as to why the media was drawing you to L.A. in the funeral? Who was the one who told you, why is the president going to Russia? What's going on here? What's happening? Why is he giving away America's nuclear superiority in Moscow? Now, I want to back up for a minute because I have a fairly good knowledge of this subject, although I'm only able to speak in sound bites and speak in short bursts of brilliance. There's a great deal of knowledge behind each of my sentences and statements. You may not know it, but George Bush Sr. did a similar thing. That's correct. Not the dyslexic son, but the rather calculating, brilliant father, in his time in office, disassembled all of our neutron bombs. And the reason I know this is because the inventor of the neutron bomb, Sam Cohen, was on this program when I was a local talk show host. I don't know how long this has to be, 10 years ago. And Sam Cohen said to me almost with tears that the Pope gave him the highest award for creating a weapon that would produce the least amount of damage and end the war most quickly, which was the neutron bomb. Meaning, it kills only living matter. It doesn't destroy cities. Now you say, well, what's the advantage to that? Because the way wars are fought is that whoever loses more people first gives up. I don't think you understand what this means. That if we permit Russia to gain nuclear superiority over us, it doesn't matter whether we have 5,000 weapons left and they have 7,000, they can simply destroy us by threatening to use their weapons. And with a pacifist socialist such as Obama, he's just liable to say, we lose. Don't fire the weapons. What do you want us to do? Do you understand what I just said to you? Let me put it in another context, because many of you are rightly concerned, but on the other hand, you say, what's wrong with giving up nuclear weapons? We have so many of them. This is how they led you to believe that we really only needed one nuclear weapon to protect ourselves. If we needed any at all, one. Let's go down to reality. Two gangs meet up on a street corner. And one gang has 50 guns, the other gang has 30 guns, and they're all of the same caliber. And they face each other off. And the gang leader with the 50 guns says, you know, a lot of our men are going to die, and this is unnecessary. I'm a man who does not like bloodshed, but we have our needs that must be met. We're going to win. A lot of my men are going to die, but almost all of your men are going to die. We're going to wipe you out. We have 50 guns. You have 30 guns. So we're going to ask you to give us what we want without us firing a shot. And guess what happens? My website today is really better than ever. Top left, Ellis Washington, Professor Washington to you. He is writing my biography. Incidentally, he is a conservative African-American who has been completely ignored by the media because he is not a socialist African-American and cannot be a useful idiot for them. He's a brilliant man, and he wrote a new article comparing Michael Savage to the Dreyfus affair, my banning in UK to the Dreyfus affair. If you don't know a little history, it won't hurt you. Read it. It's on michaelsavage.com, linked from WorldNet Daily. Astonishingly, from the Rasmussen reports, Obama's approval index drops to an all-time low. You heard me. While you were dancing to Michael Jackson's White Glove, the daily presidential tracking poll shows only 32% of voters approve of Obama's performance, while 37% disapprove, giving him a rating of minus 5. You won't see that on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, or Fox, will you? Let's go down to the bottom of michaelsavage.com. Great article from the New York Post by Andrea Pizer, where she says, enough, enough, excess rights all wrong for sicko freak. I think you know who she's talking about. From London, the government scheme to cut teen pregnancies by giving out condoms and teaching them about sex has actually doubled teen pregnancies. There's Obamacare coming up in the future. You mustn't miss this one from the New Orleans Times-Picayune. Remember Representative Jefferson packing money into a freezer? Well, former Rep. Jefferson is seen taking cash in a video. That's right. Go and look at the article. Watch the video. The story's been buried because he's not a white male with blonde hair and blue eyes. And, of course, that's why you haven't been following this story. But apparently the FBI hasn't let it go. From the BBC News, you're not going to believe this. An international group of academics is urging world leaders to abandon their current policies on climate policies, saying they're all bull crap. And finally, from the Washington Times, the Justice Department decision to forfeit its voter intimidation case against the new Black Panther Party has been questioned by the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. Remember those nice guys with clubs outside polling booths? Not in Venezuela, but right here in the U.S. of A. That's right. This is the Savage Nation, all on michaelsavage.com. Read it.